Well, this morning I'd like for us to be looking at Genesis chapter 50, Genesis chapter 50 and verses 19 through 21. And in these verses, we're going to be looking at the story of Joseph. You know, Joseph is a very remarkable figure in the Old Testament, and his purpose we find at the end of the book of Genesis, as he did God's will throughout his life, was then to save his family from this great famine that came upon the land in that particular day and time. And so, you know, not too long ago, we started a series of lessons that begin with the word escape. We looked at escape from Jericho, escape from the flood. Today, we're going to be looking at escape from famine. And just exactly how is it that Joseph was able to save his family from this horrible famine that came in their day and time? Let's look at Genesis chapter 50 and verses 19 through 21 first of all. And this wonderful statement from Joseph, who had just been confronted by his brethren who were afraid that Joseph was going to exact revenge upon them for what they had did to him some 30 years earlier or so. Here is Joseph's response. He said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. What a remarkable statement. Joseph's father had just died. They had just funeralized him, and now his brothers are wondering, what's going to happen to us now that our father is dead? They were expecting that when Jacob passed away, that Joseph would make his move against them. And so they asked Joseph to be forgiven. Verse 17 of chapter 50. They said, "I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin." And that's the message they communicated then to Joseph. That is, that was Jacob's desire as well, that they be forgiven. How many of us would have reflected this same attitude within our lives? You know, so many times we can be petty, and when people do things wrong against us, and we have an opportunity, then the tables are turned, so to speak. We do not act as magnanimously as Joseph acted, perhaps. Instead, we're petty and we try to take revenge. We undercut. We don't appreciate. We don't value. And in that way, we instead exact a price from those who would act against us. But that is not what Joseph did. Joseph and his actions were magnanimous. And that's because of Joseph's great character. And really, when we look at the story of Joseph, Joseph gives the credit to God. God saved us as Joseph then lived by faith within his life. The story might have been different had Joseph taken a different attitude than the attitude that he took toward God. God provided escape from the famine because Joseph, first of all, acted with integrity. He trusted in God's power. And then third, he did not give in to vindictiveness. And that's what I would like for us to think about this morning. You know, Joseph acted with integrity. Think about this word, integrity. This is the notion of being held together by something. You know, if a piece of metal has integrity, it's not going to break or bend easily It's the idea of being held together and holding oneself together. And if anyone had the opportunity to fall apart, it would have been Joseph. Because think about what happened to him. Betrayed by his brothers, sent into Egypt to live as a slave. And yet, how did Joseph maintain his integrity? How did he keep himself together? It was his faith in God. He continued to put his trust in God and let God work with him within his life. When we turn to Joseph's life in Genesis 39 verses 2 through 5, we see the story of him living in this Egyptian's house when he was first sold into slavery. Sometimes the Bible calls this man Potiphar, Potiphar's house. Some translations say the Egyptian. He was a successful man, it says, and he was in this man's house, and he was a slave. And it says, the Bible says that the Lord was with him, that is Joseph, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. And so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. And then this Egyptian made him overseer of his house. He put all authority under him and gave him a significant role then. Well, that's kind of unheard of. You think about it. Here's one who is a slave. He comes into this household. Perhaps this man has had others who have been his servants and has been betrayed by them. But now Joseph comes in and he then works for the Lord. He remembers that God is his real master. And he does what is pleasing to God. And of course that puts him in a good position with this Egyptian as well. And what a tremendous work ethic that Joseph had. And what tremendous integrity that he had to be able to rise to the position that he rose to. As he did God's will and as God blessed him in that regard. But of course, we know the story that good things sometimes can be undermined, especially by the devil. And so the devil came in the guise of this master's wife, cast lustful eyes to Joseph and asked Joseph to lie with her carnally. But he refused. And he said this, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph would not betray his master. He would not betray God. He knew that this was wrong. So many others would have thought, you know, if I don't do this, then I'm going to be in trouble with her and be in trouble with the master. And so I might as well go ahead because I want to keep peace here. Well, that wasn't Joseph's attitude. He knew that there was something wrong with what he did. He would be wronging his master, he would be wronging God, and he would be willing then to pay whatever penalty would come as a result of that. And it did come. We see that what happened next, that he was cast into prison. And while he was in prison, he was there, and the Lord was with Joseph, showed mercy to him. And while he was there, he was faithful to the Lord. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in this prison. And so he rose again where he was at because he was faithful to the Lord. He was a man of integrity. And when he was then in prison, he had the opportunity come before him to interpret some dreams. Dreams of a butler, dreams of a baker. And those dreams then led him to Pharaoh himself. They called Joseph, they brought him before Pharaoh, and he said, "I have had a dream. And there is no one who can interpret it, but I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it." And so Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And he appeared before Pharaoh here and again maintained his integrity. It was always about God with Joseph. It was always about his faith in the Lord. And as he then heard that dream interpreted, he stood before Pharaoh and he gave the interpretation. There would be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, and you need to prepare for it. And he was about 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he went out from the presence of Pharaoh, went through all the land of Egypt. In the 7 plentiful years, he gathered the food to prepare for the 7 that will be famine. And so he was able to prepare when he appeared before Pharaoh. He was a man of integrity. He served well. Why? Because he had faith in God. You know, when we think about Joseph's story and being betrayed by his brother, sold into slavery, that would have been a difficult circumstance to be in. But God reveals to us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I got the book wrong on that. I'm not sure why that happened. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And that's what happened in Joseph's life. He was able then, because he loved God, God was able then to work all these things together for him, for what was good. When we think about 1 John 3 and verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Joseph had a relationship with God. He spoke with God. He knew what was right and what was wrong. I'm sure his father Jacob instilled those principles in him from the time that he was very, very small, you know. And that relationship with God was able to help him maintain his integrity. But it's only when we love God, as Romans 8 and verse 28 says, it's only when we keep his commandments that God can bless us to the fullest. God can bless us even when we rebel against him. God can bless us when we don't remember him. In fact, he does bless many people. The Bible says that God sends the rain on both the just and the unjust, and the sunshine as well. That's a blessing from God, even to the rebellious. But God's work of salvation takes place when we put our faith in him and when we act with him, in cooperation with him. And that can only be done as we are listening to his word, believing it, and obeying it. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven or tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And those who don't put their faith and trust in God have no reason then to expect that God would give them anything. But Joseph was such a man of faith and courage and integrity. He acted by faith. Whether it was before Potiphar, whether it was when he was in prison, whether he was before Pharaoh, he was consistent. That is integrity. They were able to escape from the famine because of Joseph's integrity. But this integrity, as we've been talking about all along, came because of Joseph's tremendous trust in God, his faith in God. When he appeared before Pharaoh, notice what Joseph said. It is not me. God will give Pharaoh an answer. Genesis 41 verse 16. The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Genesis 41 verse 25. Look at Genesis 41 verse 28. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. And in verse 32 of the same chapter, this dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass. Joseph didn't stand before Pharaoh and say, look at me, I'm this great sorcerer, magician, or soothsayer, diviner, or whatever, you know, and I can do all these wonderful things. He never did that. How many of us put in the same position, you know, of a place of prominence and being there because of our integrity and our faith in God, and then all of a sudden, you know, the temptation is there. Well, maybe I should take the credit for this instead of giving God the credit for it. Well, that is the temptation. Joseph, no matter what happened, he did not give in to that. He gave God the glory. He put his trust in God's power. And Joseph continued to trust in God, even, you know, when he was reunited with his brothers here in Genesis 45, 4 through 8. He asked them to come near and he told them who he was when this happened. He said, God sent me before you. Even at this moment, you know, when he could have very well been very petty and taken vengeance on them and sent them off to die because of the famine. He didn't do that. He remembered his relationship with God and gave God the glory because he trusted in God. God sent me before you to preserve life. God sent me before you to preserve a posterity. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. Joseph gave God the glory and the honor because he had put his faith in God to begin with. He trusted in God's power, even though he was put into difficult circumstances, sold into slavery, made a slave in an Egyptian's house, thrown into prison. Such difficult circumstances to maintain faith, and yet he maintained his faith. Genesis 45, in verses 9 through 11, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me. You and your children, and your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have, there I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. For there are still 5 years of famine. God has made me this. And Joseph then was able to use that blessing that God gave him to save his family from famine. Why? Because Joseph had integrity. Because Joseph put his faith and trust in the power of God. And that continued even after his death, as we noted earlier, when the brothers came together and begged for forgiveness. They wept before him, and Joseph lovingly and graciously, magnanimously, extended his hand to them to provide for them and comfort them because he put his trust in God. God meant it for good. How about us? You know, the world today shouts out loudly, don't trust anyone but yourself. Look out for number one. Who can you depend on? Only yourself. What a poor attitude. Who is truly able to deliver himself? No one really. Think about a lifetime spent trying to build yourself up to the point where you can deliver yourself. Putting all the trappings of the world around you. The houses, the lands, the wealth, the power, the riches, all of those things just to try to preserve your life. You couldn't do it when you were born into the world, and you can't do it when you leave the world. Where should we really put our trust? In the one who holds the world in his hands. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. When we trust in God, God will provide for us in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. No one is going to preserve their life in this world to the point where they're going to be able to escape death. No one. But God will save us if we trust in him. Look at Abraham's attitude as recorded in Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham put his faith and trust in God, as did Joseph. And that led him then to be the kind of man that he was. God will save us if we will put our faith and trust in him. Joseph was able to escape from the famine because he trusted in the power of God. And then finally, Joseph did not give in to vindictiveness. Vindictiveness. You know, vindictiveness is the attitude of seeking revenge against others. And people can do this. You know, revenge doesn't have to be this big, great act that you do where you say, aha, I got you, you know, that kind of thing. Vindictiveness can be very, very petty, very small things, such as, you know, hiding somebody's pencil or hiding somebody's car keys or something like that so that you can sit back and watch them walk through the house looking for those things and not finding them. You know, vindictiveness, it displays itself even in the smallest of things. Joseph, out of all the people in the Bible, you know, Joseph had the best opportunity to be vindictive in a lot of ways because he had been betrayed by his brothers, sold into slavery, suffered that whole time, you know, false accusations. The prisons in that day weren't nearly as nice as the prisons that we have today, that's for sure. Forgotten by the butler, you know, whose dreams he interpreted. And then finally brought before the Pharaoh and being a shell probably of the man that he once was when he was younger. And yet throughout all that, he maintained his integrity. He maintained his faith in God. And when he got before Pharaoh, you know, he didn't say, hey, I need you to take care of a few things for me before I can help you, you know. That was not his attitude. So many people would have said, first of all, what's in this for me? What's in this for me, first of all? Before I answer any of your questions, Pharaoh, what am I going to get out of this? Joseph did not have that attitude, you know. He didn't look to punish those who had hurt him along the way. He simply gave glory to God. He put his trust in God. The Pharaoh asked his questions. He responded with God's message. That's how he responded. Look at what it says. When he finally has the opportunity to confront his brothers, please come near me. Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves. He wanted to save their lives with a great deliverance. Joseph's attitude was in line with God's attitude, and he did not give in to vindictiveness. He told them, you know, tell my father, go, you shall dwell in the land of Goshen. I will provide for you. What a tremendous difference in attitude that so many others might have just said, you know, just go away. I don't want to be bothered by you, you know. Just go back to Canaan and stay there. Starve to death. He didn't have that attitude. He wasn't vindictive. And even after his father died, the brother said, Joseph will hate us. They thought like the world thinks. They thought like so many think today who give in to that petty spirit. He's going to hate us. He's going to take revenge on us. We need to beg him, you know, to forgive us. That was never Joseph's thought process. Oh, I'm sure he was tempted. But he put his faith in God. He wanted to please God. He wanted to do God's will. If God is a forgiving and loving God, then Joseph was going to be a forgiving and loving man. And that's exactly how Joseph acted. It says Joseph wept when they spoke to him. He wept. It hurt him that they would even think that his attitude would be less than magnanimous. What tremendous character Joseph had. And so his statement, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? I will provide for you and for your little ones." He comforted them. He spoke kindly to them. Joseph is a tremendous example then for us to follow and not being vindictive in our lives. God said, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Leviticus 19 verse 18. "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Romans 12, 19 through 21. Joseph was able to escape from the famine, and so was his family. God provided this escape precisely because of Joseph and his attitude, and God could work with him and accomplish his will. Joseph acted with integrity. Joseph trusted in God's power, and Joseph was not vindictive. What a tremendous lesson that Joseph is for our life today. Perhaps this morning, one needs to change and have the attitude of Joseph within his life. Put his faith and trust in God today. And if you need the prayers of the church to help you with that change, then you can come forward this morning and ask for those prayers, and we'll pray with you so that your life can be more like the life of Joseph. There's another Savior that acted with integrity, trusted in God, and was never vindictive, but gave his life on the cross that we might have salvation. You know, we're actually more like Joseph's brothers than we are like Joseph. We're the ones who need to stand and plead for forgiveness. We're the ones who should be afraid that someone's going to take vengeance on us for the wrongs that we have done. But this morning, we can stand before God and say, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me." Because of the great work that Jesus Christ did in dying on the cross so that we might have forgiveness of our sins. And maybe this morning you need to become a child of God. Renounce your sinful ways. Hear God's word. Believe in it. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as Lord and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Doing the very same thing that Joseph's brothers did before Joseph. "Forgive us, please, we beg. We realize that we committed great evil against you." And yet, God is patient and loving and kind and desires to bring about salvation for all. The only thing in our way is ourselves. Not having that integrity, not trusting in God, being vindictive, holding on to the sins of the past is only going to prevent us from receiving the great salvation that God has to provide. We can escape from the famine of sin this morning by doing the same things that Joseph did within his life and living for the Lord. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation today, we're ready to help you. Won't you come now and make it known while together we stand and while we sing?